What happens to us when we move into a higher frequency? Let's start with the physical body. Random body pains. Sometimes they're old injuries from this lifetime. Sometimes they're old injuries from past lifetimes. But when we rise into a higher frequency, our bodies are also stripping back these layers and purging out disharmonic energies within the body. So random body pains, digestion issues, also nausea, has a lot to do with the solar plexus shifting, you shifting into a new identity. Also weird skin issues, whether it be breaking out, weird rashes, I mean, you name it, is also a really big effect of shifting into a higher frequency. Our skin, I think it's called like the biggest organ or something. It's weird to think that it's an organ. Maybe it's not an organ, but it's like a big, you know, it's like just a big part of our body. Our skin is really great at releasing toxins in our body. And that's why we would have skin irritations, rashes, breakouts, whatever, you name it. Also like extra smelly. This is kind of a funny one, but also maybe not so funny, especially if you're single. But in the past like 2-3 years, I've been so stinky, like so right after a shower. Like I don't even use deodorant. That's how much I don't smell. But a friend of mine once told me, she was like a naturopath, and she said that the only reason why we would smell is to actually get rid of, as we're getting rid of toxins in our body. As we move into a higher frequency, our body is purging out those toxins. All right. So being extra smelly is totally normal. Just keep that in mind. Terrible sleeps, also very common. Typically when we're sleeping, we're integrating, we're processing, we're navigating new frequencies. A lot of the time we have dreams that help us clear old frequencies, traumas, fears. We also tend to wake up quite often in our sleep as well. And that just helps us kind of integrate whatever it is that we've been downloading at night. So being aware of that. And then one of the most common symptoms of ascending into a higher frequency is that we get exhausted often. Okay, we get very exhausted often. And that's once again, because we're flipping between high frequency, low frequency, high frequency, low frequency, 5D, 3D, 5D, 3D, all day, every day, until we can really clear a lot of the trauma, the trigger, the baggage, and just relax, just be in that 5D. And then we're not as exhausted anymore. All right. The emotional body. What happens when we move into a higher frequency in the emotional body? Lots of random emotions coming out, like literally just a week of crying. Yep, it's an emotional release. Now, the biggest kind of part of these ascension symptoms, we can call it, is random. The reason why I call all of these symptoms random is because we always try and look for a cause. Are you like that too? Like I'm so A-type like that. Oh my God, like I've got this rash on my arm and like, where did it come from? And it must be that dish soap that I was using, or it must be the plant that I touched the other day. No, most of your symptoms, especially all of your emotional symptoms, are all coming from random things that you didn't deal with, the breakup, the conversation with your dad, that past life that you had once, all right? It's all random because there's no cause in the present moment. So we have to trust the process of releasing by sitting with it in objective observation. That's what it comes down to. So also in the emotional body, we'll see more triggers and reactions, more anxiety overall. And we're going to talk about this a little bit more. Hopping into old habit patterns is very common when we're going through ascension and awareness. And then feeling lost, lonely, or unsettled. I don't know about you guys, but like in the past couple of months especially, I have been like craving something, but I have no idea what I'm craving. I try a bunch of different foods. Nope, still feel unsatisfied. I try having sex. Nope, still feel unsatisfied. I try drinking extra water. Nope, still feel unsatisfied. I try taking a walk in the woods. Nope, still feeling unsatisfied. like there's been this kind of like unsettled restlessness of like, what's going on? And we're really just being taught to surrender in that moment rather than need to fill a void with something else. But that's what our human minds go to. Where's the cause and what's the effect? What's the problem? What's the solution? With this kind of stuff, there is no solution. By feeling lonely, there is no solution. Be with yourself. Enjoy that time. If you feel anxious or unsettled when being alone, it means that there are layers of yourself that you don't want to look at, and you have that apprehension because there's something there that needs to clear. Okay, so just kind of being aware of that. And then the spiritual body, what happens when you move into a higher frequency in the spiritual body? Nothing happens in the spiritual body. I could be in 3D right now and my spiritual body would still be existing in the highest frequency, not even the fifth dimension, just the highest frequency. The spiritual body is just thankful that you're moving on. That's it. Oh yeah, some honorary mentions here. When we move into 5D frequency as well, time and manifestation, I wanted to mention this. So time gets weird. Like, I mean, we've been here for, I think maybe a week now, and every day on this property feels like it's a month. It's the most bizarre feeling ever. I think also partly because like it gets so dark so late here. Like last night it was 8:30 and I'm like, I'm pretty hungry for dinner. Like I should probably make something. I thought it was like 5:30 p.m. It's just been such a trip being here. Obviously a different environment will do that, different time zone will do that, but it's been odd. But time does act differently in the fifth dimension frequency. Sometimes it speeds up and sometimes it slows down. The more attuned you get to what you want, the more in control you are of time itself. And that's pretty dope. The other thing too is with manifestation, let's see if I can draw another picture here for you. Okay. Okay, cool. So this is you now, looking good. This is what you want. Could be anything. But right now, for this example, it's a house. You want a house to call your own. The more clear your vibration gets, as you shift away from attachment and reaction and, you know, 3D polarity and fight or flight, the quicker manifestation happens. So here you are now. You're like, I want a house. But I don't have enough money for a house and my father wouldn't approve and I don't even have a partner. So why would I get a house? Because I don't have kids. And what about this thing over here? And my job doesn't really serve me. So what about that? Your manifestation from what you want, from what you're intending, has to shift through all of these roadblocks to finally manifest what it is that you want. The more layers you have around you, the longer it's going to take to manifest what it is that you want. When you're like, here I am, I want a house. I just got deja vu, like mad deja vu. It's so wild. From like a couple months ago, I saw this in a dream. I was like, where am I right now? What am I doing? And who am I talking to? So funny. Anyway, okay. So if your energy is clear, but you're here right now and you're like, yeah, the truth is I can't afford a house and I don't have a partner and, you know, I don't know if I would, you know, my parents would approve or all of the things. All of these things still exist. But because you're not attaching yourself to them, you're not reacting to them, You're not struggling with them. Your manifestation is going to skip over all of those things. Just because you have perceived roadblocks doesn't mean they have to be. I'm just going to leave it there. Okay. I also want to mention one more thing, which is we create our reality through what we observe, but also through how we observe it. It's not just through what we observe, it's how we observe. So, great example, my water bottle. I don't know why it's always like a point of reference, probably because it's always around. So I'm observing my water bottle. That's it. Okay, I'm observing my water bottle. I'm creating my reality right now in this moment with this water bottle. But how am I observing it? Am I observing it on one end of the spectrum or the other? Am I observing it in love? I love the colors of this water bottle. It really vibes with my energy. Or I hate this water bottle because I went through a car accident and this water bottle was with me and it's created a negative association. Or are you truly in 0 point frequency? Are you truly in neutrality when you observe? When you observe elements of your reality in pure objective neutrality, you leave all of the doors open for an infinite number of timelines. As I observe this objectively, with not a negative or a positive association, anything is possible. This could be good or bad in the next moment. We have to be secure enough and in surrender enough and in trust enough to be in that objective place, because just as much as the good could happen, the bad could happen as well. When we only observe this in the positive, we close half the doors. Maybe we don't learn. Maybe there's no lesson. Maybe there's no challenge. When we only observe this in the negative, we close off half the doors. Okay. So once again, we create our reality through what we observe, but also how we observe it. Perception is everything. Okay, so you've entered into the fifth dimension. How do you navigate it? So I've got three steps here, three things to think about when navigating the fifth dimension once we're in it. And then we'll get into the Q&A. So I see two questions here. So be sure to add questions too if you have others as well. Okay, so step number one in how to navigate the fifth dimension, this is like the biggest step ever, always. Listen. All of your physical senses are heightened, but so are your vibrational and empathic senses. Smell, sight, touch, taste, and hearing, okay, all really heightened. But also so are your emotional connections and sensitivities. So are your spiritual connections and sensitivities. If we're not listening, then we get sucked into all of the overstimulation of a heightened vibration. We have an anxiety attack, which I know all about, and we bring ourselves back into 3D. A panic attack by getting overstimulated and overwhelmed is basically our body's way of putting us back in to the third dimension, where it's simpler, it's easier, it's less stimulating, all right? So please be aware of your inputs and your outputs. Think about it. How much am I reacting to life? No, how much am I reacting to life? Because life is coming at you. And how much am I creating life? And I want you to write that question down in your notebook. How much am I reacting to life? And how much am I creating life? Where are your inputs versus your outputs? It's got to be balanced. It's got to be balanced. Most of the time, most people just allow life to happen to them and say, yes, no, yes, no. They don't realize that in the space in between of the reaction, we can actually ask for what we want. Then we don't even have to say yes or no when it comes back around because you've already asked for it. You've already said yes to it. You get a follow-up question. Do you really want this thing? And you can say yes or no. Okay? So listen, listen, listen. There is way more overstimulation in the fifth dimension because we aren't fully acclimated to it yet. All these new doorways are opening up. We're in between all of the timelines and opportunities, and we're just not used to being in that space. So it's very overwhelming to navigate. All right. What else? Listen to your inner knowing. Really, listen, okay? It has all of the answers for you. The easiest way to listen to your inner knowing is to get out of polarity and into zero point neutrality, all right? The more you look outside of yourself, the more confused you will become. I'm going to repeat that because it's really, really important. The more you look outside of yourself, the more confused you become. Because you're allowing another input. You're allowing another input. You're asking the tarot card deck again and again. You don't know what you want, but you're giving your power away to a psychic, to an oracle card deck, to a friend, to a mother. Stop. We can't do that in the fifth dimension anymore. You have to be the sole source of your own knowledge. You can't say, well, what's going to be good for me? Do you think bananas are going to be good for me? No one knows that answer but you. And you will never know that answer unless you try, you trust, you surrender, and you listen. All right. All right. Step number two to navigating the fifth dimension. Surrender. Similar to a crystalline child, there is no longer room for holding anything in the fifth dimension. There is no room for holding anything. No reactions, no attachments, no resentments, no pain, no trauma. Moving into a higher frequency means you are showing up in your full capacity exactly as you are in the present moment. There's no ulterior motives. There's no, I'm a different person on the back end. There's no baggage. There's none of that. You will be unable to even be in the fifth dimension if you hold any of that. Okay. Okay, so release energy, emotion, and communication when it comes up. As it comes up, you move it out. All right, input, output, it's got to be balanced. And then also, like, just all along the lines of surrendering, be okay with not knowing. Be okay with not doing. Just be. That's it. That's all the fifth dimension ever asks of anyone. Just be. Just be here. Just be now. It's easy, but complicated. And the third step to navigating the fifth dimension frequency is become your own creator. Become your own creator. Be mindful. Set intentions. That's how you happen to life. That's how you happen to your reality. Is by asking for what you want. But I don't know what I want. Fantastic. Even better. Take a step back. Get yourself into neutrality. And ask for the thing that brings you the most amount of joy and excitement. And then go for it. So I want to bring up just a point that popped into my mind. If you said, okay, well, Elizabeth, the other day I wanted to go for a drive, and that brought me the most amount of excitement. And I was very clear about the energy behind that. I felt very aligned. I felt very good about that choice to just go for a drive. But during my drive, I got into an accident. Now I feel like I can't trust myself because I really thought I was aligned. I really thought I was doing the right thing. And when I followed that excitement and I followed that intuition, it led into a bad thing. I want to bring up the fact that your intuition will only ever lead you to your predestined contracts, the things that you chose to experience in this life, to grow, to become a more whole soul. Most of those things are challenging. None of those things are easy. All right? So when your intuition leads you wrong, into a challenging or not so great dynamic and situation, understand that that was truly your intuition and your highest self leading you there for growth. All right, so important. So once again, to navigate, listen, surrender, and become your own creator. The universe, which is you, is always listening. So ask for what you want and clear the space so that you can receive it. Awesome. All right, let's go into the questions. Hopefully that all resonates with you. I also want to mention too that for those of you who are really struggling still with the 3D, still with reaction and attachment and pain and emotion and trauma, I do have a course. It's called the 3D to 5D Shift Masterclass. You can find it on my website. So just check it out. I always like giving the resources when they are available. And it's pretty much that whole course is like, it's an 8-week course. It's everything that I kind of listed here, but broken down even further with even more information. So just know that there are resources available to you if you are still really struggling. Okay, let's take a look here. Awesome. Okay, so I'm going to answer Brooklyn's question. I don't know if you see it up there. I don't see it anywhere. Can you touch on how food/diet, if important at all, can affect your ascension to the fifth dimension? Is it important to keep a certain diet to remain grounded in the fifth dimension? Good question. Okay. So I've kind of tried like all different diets, and all of them came to me intuitively. Like the keto diet I just tried the other day, and it was great actually. And what do I want to say about food? Food naturally has a high vibrational frequency or a low vibrational frequency, depending on what it is. Obviously, like meat that has been, these poor animals that go through torture and torment and infections and just all that nasty stuff. And then we're eating that. We're literally, I know for a fact, we're eating that fear, and that's affecting our vibration. However, all right, this is my strong, firm belief that although the food naturally has a high or low vibrational frequency, depending on what it is, our perception, our intention will either increase the vibration of that food or decrease the vibration of that food, depending on how we perceive it. If you are about to eat some fish and you're like, oh my goodness, this poor fish, you know, I'm so sorry that your life has been so shitty and I can't believe I'm about to eat you and there's so much fear in you, you're kind of taking something that's low vibrational and bringing it even lower with your perception. What I like to do, if I do eat animal products, I raise the vibration. Actually, I do this with even tomatoes and vegetables and all of that. I give it love, right? I say, Thank you so much. Your life was not in vain. And I really appreciate all of the nutrients and all of the fiber and all of the protein that you're about to give my body. And thank you for being here. Okay, I don't do it maybe every time, but I try the majority of the time to do that, to raise the vibration of whatever it is. Hey, if it's a hot day in the summer, I'll crack a cold beer. I understand full well that alcohol has a lower vibrational frequency. So what do? I raise the vibration of that. Thank you so much, beer, for providing me this extra joy throughout my day and this the bubbly in my mouth or whatever it may be, right? So the other thing too that I want to mention, like my diet is intuitive. And all that means is that I really listen to my body. So recently in the past, like probably 3 months, I've been eating spoonfuls of peanut butter. I've never liked peanut butter, even as a kid, never liked peanut butter. It was like a couple weeks ago back in LA that I was eating spoonfuls of peanut butter and I was drinking grape juice, like a fiend. And someone told me, they're like, oh, you're like basically, you know, peanut butter and jelly sandwich in your mouth. And I'm like, no, this makes sense. But there's something about that. There's some sort of enzymes, there's something in peanut butter that my body needs at this time. And then I won't touch it for years, probably. So listen to your body, whatever it is. The worst thing we can do is restrict ourselves to a diet. I hate to say it, but I mean, like vegetarian, veganism, it's such a culture. It's such a belief that there's so much attachment around it that it can be actually more detrimental to our own freedoms than just saying, I eat whatever my body needs me to eat. And that's what it comes down to. That's what I do. You can do what you need to do, but I really highly recommend listening to yourself. And that's pretty much what it comes down to. I do want to say though too, certain foods are grounding, especially foods that have like more of a density, like more of that fear, can actually be beneficial to ground us into the body. I have found that when I felt a little bit lightheaded, a little bit out of body, maybe I eat some yogurt, and that will actually ground me into my body as well. So just once again, you know, you can even ask your body, what foods do I need to help me ground myself? So as far as being in the fifth dimension and needing a certain kind of diet, absolutely not. It's really, truly just listening to your own divine guidance and wisdom. Okay. So another question here. I fluctuate between neutrality and mama bear position. How can we navigate our status or frequency when the country is mandating our children to get COVID vaccines? Oh my God. Wow, that's crazy. That's very difficult. I don't have children right now. I just have little Grayson. So I obviously can have that compassion, but I will not know that position until I'm actually a mom. And ultimately, your children are these pure, pure vibrational beings, okay? We need to take the highest perspective here with the vaccination and with anything that's being mandated and understand that our children are 10 times more powerful than we are, and they can transmute anything. So the biggest thing that I would suggest, okay, but once again, I'm not in that position, so I don't know fully, but this is what my recommendation would be. Never give your children the gift of fear, even if you're fearful, because that's going to taint their purity and their ability to transmute. Children never have to actually pray or set intentions for food, because their vibration is so high and so pure that they can just transmute that vibration as they interact with it. And it's the exact same thing with vaccines. And I just want to mention too that, I have said this before, but like as a kid, I ended up getting all of my vaccines, and I'm still very psychic and I'm still very open and aware. And I still woke up at quite a young age. So also, like, before the whole fucking COVID thing, the question was, do we get our children vaccinated? And I don't have an answer for that because it's not up to me to choose. But ultimately, we can override detrimental effects of certain things. So as a mama bear, you need to realize that your child chose to be born at this time during this pandemic or plandemic for a reason. And you need to trust in their choice to do that, if that makes sense, all right? So stepping away from the mama bear a little bit and understanding that everything is divine, everything is in flow, everything is exactly the way that it needs to be. And just continue to raise that vibration in your day-to-day life. Thank you for asking that. Okay. Julian, would you say focus only on neutrality or trying to maintain neutrality while focusing on love? Great question. I think it's open to everyone. If I was gonna say, if we wanna master this reality, the best thing we can do is allow ourselves to dabble, that's what I call it, dabble completely in low vibration and high vibration, but always come back to a place of neutrality. Neutrality you can think of as like your bed at night. It's just, you always come back there, but there should be never any fear of dealing with low vibrational frequency or challenge, okay? Because if we have a fear of dealing with dark energy or challenge, then we're always gonna be shying away. We're always gonna be protecting. We're always gonna be scared of that shadow that's behind the door. It is only until you look behind the door, you illuminate the shadow, where you actually transmute it, and you can go back to neutrality. So I love having shitty days. I love having issues with my family. I love stubbing my toe and having it be very painful. I love when I break my favorite plate or mug, maybe not so much in the moment, but I love having those experiences. They're challenging. They help me move and grow and create and recreate and set intentions and learn lessons. So neutrality should be a place that we always go back to. But I definitely do not believe or think that it is sustainable, realistic, or even like beneficial to always be in neutrality. Trust me, I've tried it and it's not good. Close the window there. But yeah, great question. Thank you, Julian. Okay, cool. Another question here. How do we focus on goals without attachment? I do the work to get toward my goal, but find myself getting attached to the goal itself. Yeah, great question. It took me a long, long, long time to deal with this. Half of me has been attached to non-attachment, which has been detrimental. The early stages of me have been attached to attachment, to the things itself. And now I'm in this place where I'm free because I just don't really feel like I have those attachments and I'm really living my best life. And I'm sure they will come up in my life as well. So how to not get attached? This is what it is. Okay. So say for example, you want a house, right? Going back to that kind of image. You want a house. That's what you want. You want it so badly. The best way to release the attachment is understanding on the other spectrum, not having the house. Are you okay with the visualization, the understanding, the connection of having the house? And are you simultaneously okay with not having the house? If you're okay with both of those timelines, then you have checked yourself and you understand you're coming from a place of non-attachment. If you want the house and that's all that you want and anything else is gonna be super devastating and really wrong and really bad and really upsetting, then you need to start letting go of what it is that you want and reframe it in a different mindset. So for example, money, okay, finances. We could all use extra financial flow. And I believe that everyone deserves to be as abundant as they possibly desire and can be. The problem is that money itself is so twisted, so manipulated, so wrong, so gross, so rooted in greed and just low vibration, that it's very difficult for any starseed to be abundant because, you know, just like that image, we got to get through all of these old shitty belief patterns in order to actually be financially abundant. So what I tend to find and tend to do with financial abundance is, if I think about a $100 bill, I think, in my old self anyway, that's too much. I don't deserve that. I can't have that. I'm not working hard enough. All of the bullshit excuses, the attachments, the conditions, the contracts that I've put in my own reality. So what does money represent to me? If I had all the money in the world, everything was taken care of, what does that mean? What does that represent? To me, that represents freedom. Fantastic. So I'm not going to ask for money. I'm not going to set the intention for money because it comes with a baggage of old limiting belief. I'm going to ask for freedom. So make sure that whatever you're asking for, you're okay with having it and not having it. Then take it the next step further and say, if you're really attached to it, ask for something above and beyond that. I want a house. Okay, so what does a house allow you to do? It allows me to have space. Fantastic. What does space allow you to do? It allows me to be. It allows me to be present. It allows me to meditate. It allows me to be centered. Fantastic. So you're actually just asking to be centered in every single moment throughout your day. You're not asking for a house. What's beautiful about asking for the thing above the thing is that now you get to be centered. Now you get to be free in all of the ways, not just financially and not just with the house. Does that make sense? Awesome. Thank you for asking that question. All right. Okay, so Anita, our new energies and babies that are coming to Earth, now already attuned to 5D, / will they have an easier time navigating than we? Yes and no. Absolutely, hands down, 100%. They're already pure, little, crystalline, absolutely angelic, incredible beings of light. They're going to have an easier time in a higher frequency, but they're still coming to this planet with this planet. Okay, so they're having a much harder time. They're having a much harder time than we are. Because when we were born, we weren't as awakened, and we adjusted. And the problem is that all these starseed kids are being born. Their parents are, maybe they're starseeds, maybe they're just not awake. And they're having a very hard time shifting into a higher frequency, acclimating to the energy. So they are quote unquote ADHD or Asperger's on the spectrum, or they're bipolar, or they're depressed, or they're anxious at like 8 years old. And the problem is that these parents will just put medication on it, and they won't actually ask the right questions and listen and support their child. And it's really, really tough, really, really sad. And I think I channeled this in a couple of Galactic Federation meetings ago, that there was supposed to be a huge wave of starseed kids coming in 2017. And that was pushed back to, I think, 2021, 2022, because they weren't being supported in the right ways. And a lot of these poor starseed kids were just dying off early because the density was too much for them. So yeah, it's been rough. It's been really, really tough, you know, for those kids. So it's easier for them to get into 5D, but if no one is around and they're with them, then they're alone. And that's the most difficult part. All right. Okay, Lewis, why did you skip 4D? Yeah, good question. I've gone into this quite a bit, and we're kind of skipping, we're kind of like we're We're like super smart kids in school and we're skipping a grade. That's what we're doing right now on the planet. We're skipping over the fourth dimension frequency. Don't ask me why in particular we're skipping over 4D. It almost feels like for a while we've been like 3D, 4D kind of enmeshed, and then we're kind of slowly moving into that 5D realm. The fourth dimension frequency is all about time. So we're really skipping over time itself. And it does have pros and cons to us doing that. But of course, we get to ascend a lot faster by doing that as well. There's also a lot of like entities and like weird, icky energies that exist in 4D as well. So, but good question. And I see Brooklyn had that same question too. All right, Senna. What frequency slash dimension do our star families vibrate at? Great question. Really depends on who your star family is. So for my star family, the Grays, they exist in the sixth dimension frequency, which is so easy because they're like really like right there. The Palladians exist in the eighth dimension frequency. So it's much more difficult to communicate with them and meet them and have them around us. So if you think about Palladians being in 8D and we're over here in 3D, it like we got to meet them at least halfway in 5D so that they can kind of meet us there, right? So we're going to have far more telepathic abilities than basically just what we have now when we move into a higher frequency, and we'll be able to really connect with them as well. Good question though. All right, so Elaine, in regards to body changes, as I step into more energy work and channeling, I find myself drinking lots of water all the time, almost never enough water. Why is this happening? Yeah, so water is like a very integral part of our transition, and it helps us release toxins. So that's kind of what your body is telling you right now, is like, whoa, drink lots of water so that you can flush out what isn't serving you and release the toxins that are in there. So I go through, you know, weeks where I don't drink any water, and then weeks where I can never get enough water as well. And it's really up to you to just once again, listen to where you're at and what you need. But good question. Okay. How do I deal with the differences with people that were close to me who are stuck in 3D while my frequency keeps growing? It's a good question. Ultimately, I would mention creating space is one of the best things that we can do when we're not aligning to other people. And it'll be obvious. There will be backlash, there will be butting heads, there will be triggers, there will be reactions, there will be blowups. Like, I mean, it's becomes very clear when someone is not in the same frequency as you. And one of the best things to do is just separate. There's nothing that you can do, there's nothing that you can say to help them change their frequency. All you can do is live your best life and emit your own vibration and allow them to come back around and feel that warmth and that love and that vibration. And eventually they'll meet you up there as well. So space is always needed. All right. Another one from Senna. As more people awaken and shift into the fifth dimension, what does that do for the planet, for others? I have this fear of bad things happening to others when they don't awaken. Does this mean that all beings benefit? Absolutely. So as long as we have like a certain, even small percentage of beings on this planet shifting into a higher frequency, the entire planet and every being on it is forced to shift. They get a choice though. If they choose not to shift into a higher frequency, and trust me, they're going to be given, and they are being given right now, many, many, many opportunities to do this. If they choose not to, then what I tend to find is like freak accidents or passing away, taking an early exit point is basically where I see those people going. But I really don't see, you know, mass depopulations as we have heard about from other individuals or other, you know, channels or what have you. So yeah, people are gonna, you know, be fading away or passing away, but it's not gonna, it shouldn't be super, super shocking in that extent. And most of the majority of the planet is gonna shift into a higher frequency, but we are the ones who really have to kind of hold and maintain that energy for them. All right, so Kate, I feel that I struggle with neutrality the most when it comes to feelings that come with loving children and pets, i.e. fear for their welfare. Absolutely, and I'm sure that you're probably like a Palladian energy or an angelic energy, and you know, that's very common to have that fear, especially of the most innocent, right, is really what you're talking about. And I just wanna mention that you don't have control over that. You will never have control over your children, over the children around the world, over animals, over pets, over individuals who are being abused. It's really important, although it's a tough kind of lesson to understand, that everyone creates their own contracts. So as much as we can feel the pain of these children who are innocent, who are trafficked all over the world, we also need to realize that, you know, we've created that contract for ourselves as well. We've been those children. We've been the perpetrator. We've done that before. And now we're here and we're able to hold space for them in a loving way. The more fear you have over the mistreatment, the misconduct, what's really happening, it's good to know, because we can't be ignorant. It's good to know. But when you know about it and you perceive it in a fear-based way, you're feeding your fear into that system, which a lot of us just don't stop and think about. So it's really important that we take responsibility for how we're perceiving the flow of the planet and basically giving as many good vibrations as we possibly can when we are perceiving and observing. Good question, Kate. All right. Could you speak to the loneliness and our potential to call in and manifest a community? I'm often unclear about the manifestation goals that include other free will beings. Fantastic. Yeah, so ultimately, we have the ability to call in communities. There have been many times before where I've worked with clients and I've let them know that your community is right around the corner, but you have to ask for it. You can ask for what you want. And what's beautiful, say for example, there's five people, okay? And you're like one of the five. And the other four individuals are very passive, just very passive individuals. They're just kind of living life. They're maybe not as aware. They're allowing life to come at you. And you're over here and you're saying, this is what I want. I want a community of people who really get me, understand me, support me, hear me out, whatever. That's those four people. If your intention is louder than their intention or clearer than their intention, then you can actually draw them in. What's beautiful about that, about kind of overriding their free will to draw them in, is it's also contracted for them to be in your life. So you're not overriding free will that they didn't agree to. They all agreed to that community space. You're just the one who prompted it, if that makes sense. So I highly recommend set the intention, find your community. It's very common to feel lonely as a starseed because we feel like we're alone. We feel like there's no one else on the planet who gets it. I would actually recommend that you join my free Discord channel. We have 5,000 members. It's free. We talk about everything, spiritual art, spiritual pets. Everyone's posting their pets. You know, that's a community. That is a community. It's a form of a community. So maybe start there and branch out and see what else is available to you. But it's out there. So keep trying. All right, let's do last question here. From Deborah, is there a timeline to make the switch to 5D? I have anxiety over whether or not I'm switching quickly enough. This is interesting. A lot of people fear that their grandparents, their children, their pets, their partners, their lovers are not going to make it. They're not going to switch over to 5D. And I think that this is kind of like funny in a way, because it's not like a choice that we make consciously. It's just a vibration that we surrender into. So Deborah, I wouldn't be surprised that most of your day is actually in a higher vibrational frequency, but because there isn't a bell that rings, you just entered 5D. You know, you just never know. You just don't know that you're actually in it. Here's what I let people know who are afraid of their loved ones not entering into 5D. The only thing you need in order to move into the fifth dimension frequency is the willingness to change. That's it. That's all it comes down to. The only thing you need in order to move into a higher frequency is the willingness to change. Whatever your attachment is, are you willing to let that go? Are you willing to allow every element of your life and reality to crumble around you for the better? I know I am. I've had my life and reality crumble multiple times. I'm still standing and better for it. I am willing to change. Therefore, I am willing and able to hop into 5D. I'm sure that we all know probably that one person or multiple who are stubborn, who are ignorant, who are prideful, who are attached, and who are just not open to hearing anyone else out. Those people do not have a willingness to change. Those people may not move into the fifth dimension. But you know what's going to happen to those people? And it's going to happen soon. Every element of their attachments and their reality is going to crumble and collapse. What do you think the whole pandemic did this past year? It forced us all to crumble everything that we've ever known and change. The pandemic allowed us to change. The pandemic cleared space so that we can all enter into the fifth dimension. And with that, I want to say thank you so, so much to all of you for joining, for showing up, for being open-minded. Like I mentioned before, you will be able to replay this as much as you want, as often as you want afterwards. And I think you should be getting an email saying that the recording is up or what have you. So really, really appreciate all of you and your willingness to be open and show up and be vulnerable as well. So keep having compassion. Apply all of the things that we talked about today, and I promise that your life will shift. It will shift. It will raise into a higher frequency. Bye for now.